Welcome again to Highly Questionable. They seem to have been asleep at the wheel here. We're beginning a national television program. This is Katie Nolan. What do you like on the show today, Katie?
Being here. It's my favorite.
Caught her off guard. Dale, papi.
He didn't even say we're going to do bumps now.
Is LeBron right to be upset that David Griffin?
Okay, we have around here, all of us at the network, contracts that obligate us daily to talk about LeBron James, whether there is news or not. However, we've got actual news because this rogue loose cannon, David Griffin, has been saying for months how not fun it has been to run the Cavs and everything that happens around LeBron James. So he said that a few months ago on Woj's podcast, but it gathered steam again today because Sports Illustrated has some freshened up quotes that say the same thing, which is basically he wouldn't have stayed there for all the money in the world because LeBron James was there. And so LeBron hears all of this, and this is what he puts on Twitter. And we got, all right, enough is enough. The throne has been played with two, unfortunate spelling of too much, and I ain't for horseplay. Okay. Ether coming soon. Help me with the emojis. I'm old, Katie.
No, we got like that's a smiling laugh. There's a bunch of smiles. Then right. We got about nine flames, I think. We have a crown, and then we have a fist.
Hashtag James Gang. All right,
Griffin. Is that a thing? James Gang?
Is it? I don't know.
I've never heard it. I think LeBron has, a little bit of a right to be upset with him because, look, in this past week, we have talked about three different things we're all mad at LeBron for, this being one of them, the other being that he dunked at his son's AAU game, God forbid, and then the other one being, on your radio show,
Taco Tuesday, making fun of Mexican accents,
right.
That's right.
So, like, we come for him about everything. I mean, the least David Griffin could do is not give us another thing that we're going to talk about on TV all the time. As a friend of his, if I were LeBron, I'd be pretty upset. But I also just feel like we're the ones he should be mad at, the more I say it, because we're the ones who made this a story when, like you said, Dan, it was on Woj's podcast a long time ago. We're still talking about it, and it's our fault. Be mad at us. We're sorry. Say you're sorry.
I will not say I'm sorry. Jorge Sedano just recently here, about a half hour ago, talked to David Griffin because we need the content. We need to eat the content.
I got a hell of an idea for you, David. Don't back down at all. You stick your chest out.
Your next move
will be to write a book about LeBron.
Yes.
A real bad one. And then that move is going to turn into a big movie.
A movie.
And pretty
movie.
Soon you're going to be a millionaire.
Yes.
That's right.
It's a hard way to get there for David Griffin. But he's right. He would become a millionaire.
Are you already charmed by Vic Fangio?
It is not Latin. It is Fangio, and it is Vic bleeping Fangio, or Fangs if you prefer. And football is back. And you know how football is back? It's because this guy is prowling the sidelines after maybe or maybe not passing a kidney stone because there was no way that Vic bleeping Fangio was going to be questionable for a football game. So listen to him when he's talking about the idea of going to the hospital. This is the worst pain a man can feel. This is a kidney stone. And he's saying, huh? I got no quarterbacks. I got to get back to my football team.
You know, as we all know, you know, nobody's in there doing cheetah flips and cartwheels about that like they would in a regular season game. But winning's cured more ills than penicillin, and it's always nice to win.
That's not scientifically accurate, I feel responsible to say.
Yeah.
Winning the Hall of Fame preseason football game has not done more for medicine than penicillin. Please make sure that you know that that's true. I love the guy. I think he's great. One thing I particularly love about him I haven't heard a ton of people say is he's just super honest. Obviously, he's gritty, but when people ask him about stuff that happened on the field, he's like, you know, I can't really see the field as well from where I am now, which is on the sideline because I'm the coach. So I'll have to take a look at that later. When he challenged the pass interference call, the first time that's ever happened, he said he was going to do that. Then he said that the reason he did it at that moment is because his players were like, do it now. And he was like, okay. I couldn't really see it. I'm like, you can't see it. I love this guy. Instead of taking his job too seriously, he seems to be taking it the right amount of seriously, but also not at all.
No, taking it way too seriously because, again, it wasn't that important that he be there last night and that the only successful thing that John Elway can pass at this point is his coach with a kidney stone. They've got nothing else that can pass
on
that.
It was his debut.
That's the only thing they can do. Ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
Oh, he found the winning formula. He found the winning formula. He has to carry a lot of kidney stones. And don't pass them up to win, buddy. I'm telling you, it's hard to try.
You messed up. Now you got to have a kidney stone every week.
Every week.
Pass them out is what he said.
Do you believe Andrew Luck when he says his shoulder injury saved his marriage?
I don't know about you. I think it's unfair that I am doing this, but I just don't feel like Andrew Luck is capable of divorce. So I just look at him and I say, that guy is going to be loved by someone forever, and he's going to give love to someone forever, and it's going to work forever. But if he is indeed saying that being home more and having perspective, taking some of his self-worth out of football and being at home, trying to be a good husband as he becomes a father for the first time, God bless him for learning it this early in life, because usually it takes the quarterbacks into their late 30s or 40s to realize the perspective he already has, because the doctors appear to have botched some stuff on his body.
I don't want to get too personal, but I do feel like I can kind of relate to this story a tiny little bit, because Andrew Luck talks about the fact that he was wanting to work and found his own definition of himself through his work. He just was unable to work. For him, it was for an injury. This had happened to me. I wasn't able to work for a couple months, and I went through something similar. I'm obviously not married, so I didn't work on that. But it is this like life-changing, brain-altering thing where you just have to process the world in a completely different way, and you learn a lot about yourself in that time and a lot about your relationship with the people in your life. And so I think it's amazing to hear a professional athlete talk about vulnerability like that. We heard something similar when Jeremy Lin was talking earlier in this week when we looked at that clip. Like, this is just athletes being vulnerable, talking about what it's like when the thing they've defined themselves by is no longer available to them. And I love this kind of stuff.
But wait until he throws a couple of interceptions. Then we'll be howling, you're too good a dad, too good of a husband. Concentrate more on the things that matter, like football.
He's as smart of Derek Carr to buy a house next door to John Gruden's in Las Vegas.
I have so much to say.
Okay. I want you to say it, because I can't imagine that this is a very good idea, if for no other reason. I understand they work hard. They care about their sport. They love their craft. Derek Carr needs to get better for John Gruden to succeed. But I would not want crazy John Gruden peering in my window at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get in to talk about banana routes. Like, this guy is going to have to lock parts of his door and change his security system about 3 weeks into the season when John Gruden wants to sleep in one of the bunk beds of his kids.
David Carr, what are you doing going on television and snitching on your brother by telling them that he's moving to a place specifically because it's next to John Gruden? It's a power move by Derek, but David going out there and spilling that tea is wrong. Now we all know that it's specifically in his brain that he wants to live next to John Gruden. Then you've got to ask yourself this question. Is that him being a psychopath? Like, he's crazy? Or is that him being desperate? Like, trying to be friends with John Gruden because they didn't get along very well. They fought last year in the sidelines. Remember that, Dan? Of course you do. Also, how far away are the houses? Rich people houses, your neighbor can be like 2 miles away from you still. Are they really that close to each other? Also, is anyone going to mention that Nathan Peterman is living on John Gruden's couch? When are we going to talk about that story?
Okay. We need more here, too, by the way. We're all begging. Antonio Brown, move in next door. So all of you are bothering each other.
Did you just buy a house next to Jimmy Pitaro?
I did. Woo! Much smaller house.
It's Friday.
Much smaller. Bit of a cottage.
Did Carmelo First Take interview make you feel bad for him?
Bit of a tone change on First Take. Instead of arguing gas bags back and forth, getting hypnotically loud, you have Carmelo Anthony with what should have been piano music behind him, doing sort of a sad I want a farewell tour. But is this my farewell tour? Just talking to Stephen A. right here on First Take as I'm basically begging for a chance to get back into the league.
My talent first, right? Due to my skill, knowing what I can still bring to this game. Right. You mean to tell me it's 30 teams in the NBA? I can't make a 15-man roster out of 30 teams in the NBA? That's why I start to, like, think about this a lot more. 30 teams, I can't make a 15-man roster in this NBA.
My favorite thing that Melo said in that interview was that he felt like basketball didn't love him back, which I assume was back when he was being asked to come off the bench for the Rockets. But then he said now he realized he loves basketball too much to stay away from it, which is a very interesting way to look at it, is that before he felt underappreciated, and so he walked away, and, well, didn't, not really walked away, but is
pushed,
away.
Or pushed away. Pushed
and then
away.
Now in the time away has realized, like, I need to suck it up and do whatever I can to be back with this sport that I love so much.
A little late for that realization, though, because we were all joking. It hey, 18-footers are inefficient. You need to go to the bench. You need to help where you can. And Chauncey Billups told you, Melo did not realize early enough that he needed some humbling so that he could just be a teammate, because now the league has turned its back on him, and he's become a bit of a laughingstock, even though he's our most decorated international champion and one of the best scorers we've ever seen.
Uh-huh. Now Melo realizes that it's not that easy when you have to stay home with your wife most of the time. he wants to get back into the game.
That's why he works next to me. It's not because he wants to be home. It's because mom doesn't want him at home.
This is going to be on TV. You guys know that, right?
Uh-huh. It's only true.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
Right fielder is trying to make a very difficult play.
Long run for McNeil. Cross the line. Up against the...
There it is, protective for all.
What did it do? Looks like it did exactly what it was supposed to. Protected them from him, protected him from them.
Time to play the game that does not perform well under pressure. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, we question.
Honest coward.
Do you question if baseball's expanded protective netting will be protective?
All right, the White Sox are using this. And by the way, it's fairly amazing in 2019 that the traditional sport of baseball hangs on to the tradition of, hey, let's hit our kids in the stands and paying customers with screaming foul balls. And only the White Sox are pioneering enough to say, you know what? No, let's go with the netting all the way down the lines. But this is what happens when your outfielder, right fielder, he's trying to make a very difficult play.
Long run for McNeil. Cross the line. Up against the...
There it is. Protective for all.
What did it do? Looks like it did exactly what it was supposed to. Protected them from him. Protected him from them.
Kind of use the netting like your Spider-Man.
Yeah, use it like your Spider-Man, just like you said.
It helps that no one was in the front row because look at the teams that were playing in the time of day and the standings, but...
The only thing I think that's going to be the downside of it is you can't, like, reach over and get a nacho. I do love when a baseball player goes into the front and just eats a nacho or a pretzel. It's just always a great gag.
Can't make fun of that, man. The kid got hit in the head.
That's right, Poppy. It is a great gag, and she should not be, like, lamenting her lack of nachos because a kid got hit in the head. Exactly right.
Do you question what Orgeron is saying?
Question what you're saying there. I always question what Ed Orgeron is saying. Always. What's he saying here? Is it that Cajun swamp monster accent that he's got?
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafouche who wouldn't have ever got past number one. Anyway.
We gotta do this again. I'm ready. Do it again. Run it back.
Do it again. I have no idea what he said, but man, he thought it was funny.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafouche who wouldn't have ever got past number one. Anyway.
I'm close. I'm glad y'all left y'all something, or y'all never would have got. Do it again.
You're not close at all.
I'm close.
Not even close.
Do it one more time.
And I'm glad y'all didn't have that Ralph or Salafouche who wouldn't have ever got past number one. Anyway.
Oh, I'm glad y'all left on the foosball table, or y'all never would have gotten past number one. Ha ha ha!
I traded a futon for five number ones, is what I heard.
What do you mean you don't understand what he said? It was very easy to understand what he says. This is what he said. I'm glad you didn't have that raffle in South Lafayette. You wouldn't have gotten past number one. That's it. That's what the man said.
That's what he said. How is it that simple to him? He is fluent in Cajun swamp dialect. Ta-da!
Do you question if this was a lucky shot?
Oh, my father, we told you earlier, had a very good friend named Pepe. His best man, the man who introduced him to his wife. What's his name, Papi?
Pedro.
That's right, Pedro, baby.
Pedro.
That's right.
One is Pepe, the other one is Pedro.
This one's Pedro as well.
An assist tonight, and he's teed up Pedro.
Oh, wow.
Shut up.
The O in Pedro. Oh.
Look at that back heel.
Beautiful.
La joga bonita.
Bien bonita. Look at that.
Sorry, am I supposed to say something funny now? That just play the clip again. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing video clip.
Yuck, yuck. Waka, waka. I don't know. I just didn't have a joke. There's nothing funny about it.
It's just an amazing goal. Nothing funny to be said. Just a magical goal.
You know who couldn't score a goal like that?
All of us.
anyone from Liverpool.
Oh, ooh, you know wow. what?
Wow. Wow, we went
he
across
doesn't even
the ocean
know what
with
that
Savager.
Means. Name ouch. Anyone on Liverpool, ouch. Puppy. Name one person.
Don't do that to the old man, Kate. Do not get in defensive.
You like the band? Name one of their hits.
Don't get defensive about your pool of liver. Knock it off. Leave the old man alone.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that can't wait to cancel all his plans this weekend and you're sitting on the couch. See?
It is a lot of fun to cancel plans. Why is it so much fun to cancel plans? You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Oh, end up being taunted with a hot dog.
On Masson, Blue Jays and Orioles.
I hope they leave all that in, my father just sort of muttering under his breath delightedly that we are going to show you right now a dog being taunted by a hot dog. What happened?
Oh, that's not taunted. That's a good boy.
Hot dog? When is he allowed to have
it? He's got the hot dog on his nose.
Yeah. Let him eat that.
Oh, don't get the way, buddy. Now that is discipline.
Okay. Well, come on. You're not going to eat it. It was on the dog's nose.
He's going to flip it up and catch
it. Does it again. She's going to take out her camera.
I know you guys are enjoying
the good boy.
Yeah, the dog and the good boy. I want you to check
eight
out
to one.
The score. The Orioles have been there for a decade. I want you to look at that score. They spent the entire last 10 years right there where that dog is, at the back end of that dog. The stuff that comes out of the back end of that dog is Oriole down 8-1 in the seventh.
Give him the hot dog. Yay! Oh, he dropped it.
Well, at least he finally got the hot dog.
So he did drop it. He didn't really stick the dismount there, but that's a good boy. See, I'm very intrigued.
She's a sucker for the dog stuff. Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued, but that is nothing. Look at this.
What do you mean it's nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so heavy. He's a eat a hot dog.
I mean, what are we doing right now with this precious land of real estate here that ESPN gives us daily to talk about sports? That's right. We're televising a spread eagle dog right there, giving you all of it while eating a hot dog.
That is the safe for work version of what I did every time I left here in my hotel room in Miami all week.
Right now on the Tennis Channel, the City Open.
Right now, let's go.
Right now, if you want to check out mood disorders or temper problems, Nick Kyrgios is here for all your needs.
Ooh, is that raven stick?
It slipped out of my hand.
Is that what happened? It slipped out of my hand. There it is. Compounding the behavior with what would appear to be a lie.
I was trying to drink it is where the lie is. Like, what? In what world of physics would this, and then it slipped and went hard left. It looked like he threw it so hard the label came off and stuck to the, I'll watch it.
It did look like that. I don't think that's what happened, though. Let me see it again. Was that label already up there, or did that label stick? No, she's right.
It's exactly what happened. That's incredible.
Exactly what happened. It is incredible. Poppy, are you intrigued?
Slipped out of his hand.
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But this guy's making the headlines in tennis. You know, he can't win for but you know,
that's true. He does win the headlines.
Something right.
He's trash, but we like him.
On TLC UK.
Give it to me.
Extreme Cheapskates.
Hey! Let's check in with the wrestler.
This video is to get me to vomit on the desk. Okay, what do we have here?
This is my El Cheapo wrestling bag. This cup I actually borrowed from another wrestler for a specific match. And it's pretty old. He actually let me keep it.
Matt really balances the cost of being a wrestler with his overall cheapness.
The most expensive part of a wrestler's outfit is his boots. These are in really bad shape. But in order to keep them useful, I tape them.
Okay.
Just have to go all the way up the leg as tight as you can. As good as new.
There you go.
For most professional wrestlers, the cost of a gym membership and personal training are mandatory expenses. But with homemade equipment, Matt saves more than $2,000 a year.
Going to a regular gym, $50 for what? For them to have machines similar to the ones that I make in my basement?
Yep.
It's a waste of money. I should charge people to come to my gym.
Push.
What? Well, that's that.
Okay. Now you're going to buy one?
I'll think about it.
You'll think about it.
I want to see this guy wrestle. Look, I'm going to be honest. I've seen a lot of extreme cheapskates. I feel like this guy just really wanted to be on TV because he's not being that cheap. He's just being really weird, but I'll still watch it.
And the relationship issues. Again, the last time we showed you with his mom, she was, taking the hair off his legs. Now she's spotting him and rubbing his back when he does rows. Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. You know, I buy all my cups used. The one that I'm wearing today, I found it in a dumpster.
Okay, great.
That's right.
I knew I smelled sauerkraut. I knew I smelled sauerkraut. It's from that damn that dumpster behind the Clevelander.
Why are you wearing a cup today?
Well, you got to be ready for the unexpected. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Always Late with Caden Nolan comes back to ESPN Plus in September.
You're the best.
I almost did it. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. Because that's growth.